and welcome back to this episode of the Yellow and Blues podcast. We're back, Venkat and I. Hello, Venkat, how are you?
Actually, I'm doing very well, thanks.
Yeah, so what's happening in terms of cricket-wise, India, the Indian, of course, it's the juggernaut, but it's more like the Indian caravan is probably the better word. The Indian caravan is rolling on, you know, on to Zimbabwe, and then from Zimbabwe, moving on to the Asia Cup. So we'll have a look at those two things in terms of what have India been doing in Zimbabwe. The last of the three games was played today. We'll have a look at the Asia Cup.
Yeah.
But I think before we do that, you know, we normally on this podcast tend to round up what's happening in the world of cricket in terms of news. Some important news obviously coming out last week was the announcement of the Future Tours program. Next cycle from about 2023 to 2027, so it's an almost 4 year cycle, 4 to 5 year cycle, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's more cricket if you. I just mentioned the word Indian caravan. In fact, there's actually more cricket in the next cycle globally than there has been, and this is excluding any of the sort of domestic T20 leagues.
I think there was some stat, Bangladesh is playing maximum games, I suppose. Maximum game 47 or something. Something like that.
And so in terms of, you're right. In terms of the overall, if you include tests, ODI and T20Is, Bangladesh play the most bilateral international games, 150 games, as compared to and then followed by West Indies 147, England 142, and then so on. India probably somewhere around the fourth. But if you then break them down by different formats like T20Is, tests and ODIs, they slightly vary. But I think cumulatively in terms of all three formats included, is Bangladesh play the most games in the next cycle. I mean, it's about 83 games, I think, overall increased in the overall cycle over the 4 year period. I think there was about 700 in the last cycle, and there's now close to 780 games.
Yep, exactly. I think one of the observations while we are at it is the love for Bangladesh on the ODI format, which is the 50 overs. They play the most 59, I think. That's what I was going to say. And then you have other teams coming in, 59, next followed by Sri Lanka in terms of ODIs, which is 52, Ireland 51, so you do have those. I don't know, does it give away anything in terms of the future for ODI? I don't think so. I mean, the lowest is played by South Africa, but India is 42.
And if you look at it, India, not far behind South Africa in terms of there's just a couple of games here and there. But then you flip it, you can see in terms of test matches, though, England, Australia, and India play the most test matches, and by Bangladesh also are quite near, it's four short, but they play the most test matches. No surprise, I guess West Indies are playing the most T20Is and India are playing the most T20Is.
Yeah.
You kind of get the feeling different countries prioritizing different formats. Whether you look at it from, what makes money for them or what the fan base there wants and what the players themselves are interested in.
I don't know if we can read too much into this. And the reason is, I'll tell you, for example, England are playing 48 ODIs, whereas 43 tests, whereas India are playing 38 tests and 42 ODIs. So I think clearly you can say that, India don't favor ODIs so much if you were to look at the data. But then England, for example, the media and everybody have been really vocal about the death of that format, and everything starts, the narrative starts to build up from England usually, and then goes around the world, at least in cricketing terms. So yeah, I think I'm surprised a little bit by England playing so many ODIs.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of is true. The way I guess I'm looking at it, you know, England play 48, but you know, this doesn't give you that break on how much of that 48 do England play at home and how much do they play away. That's where, you know, when you get down into that kind of detail is where you probably see not so much the ODIs format, you know, having a death, but versus in terms of do England play most of their ODIs away, for example, versus, you know, at home, they just play about 12, 15 ODIs in the next 4 year period. And that's where the skew you can probably see. I mean, out of that 43, that's matches, you know, England probably have got two Ashes in there. So that's about 10 matches, five each at home and away. They probably got 2 5 test series against India. So there's your 20 matches there. So that's you know, there's a guaranteed 10 matches at home, and that apart, they normally tend to have the 3 match series or like, you know, so 6 or 7 matches a year they will play at home from a test match perspective. So you can see the balance there is probably more even there in terms of they might end up playing about 28 tests at home and 25 away, or they're thereabouts kind of thing. But you would potentially think, like, you know, in terms of the ODIs, though, it's probably going to be skewed a lot more. They might be playing a few more 5 match series away, whereas at home they probably only play a 3 match series. So it's those kind of things. I think when you get probably more into the details, you might find. I don't know. I haven't actually looked at the. I know the ICC have published the calendars, but if you really go down and probably have a look at England's there, you know, you may tend to find, like, you know, is it home or away? Oh, let me just pull that out. Just looking at it, like, so for example, not so much this year. Let's probably start looking at it from next year. I mean, they in the summer next year, they barely play like any ODIs at home. Well, they play about 3 against New Zealand and 3 against Australia, and against Ireland. That's like in September 2023. The rest of them is, so as I said, like, you know, those are just the three test series. Three ODIs.
No, in fact, what it shows is that ICC are keen to look at bring back the ODIs. I mean, they wanted to make sure that this is a format of relevance. I think if you look at it from one of the news things that I saw was that last FTP was 26% ODIs, but now it's gone up to 36%. I think that's the main jump in terms of increase in terms of the number of games played, but also looking at expanding that. So I think Afghanistan, I mean, not only Afghanistan, but other associate nations would be looked at in terms of expanding the World Cup. So I think they are making their efforts to make sure that this is still relevant.
Yeah, it is. There is obviously commitment to sponsors, this commitment to other boats. I mean, there was this comment obviously a while ago from, you know, obviously from the ICC in terms of this is more pertinent to women's, but in terms of the test match, for women's test match, you know, actually they said, oh, it's a dying format. They kind of almost got the exception. I mean, that India in the next similar, like the women's bowler to FTP that came out, I think India only played 2 test matches in the entire period. So the women's test matches, so that's really not that big there, you know, in terms of, so I don't know whether longer term, even though they're doing the test championship and they know all of, because it's England and Australia, think about it, England, Australia and India are the people who are pushing test cricket at the minute, you know, in terms, although it's making comeback in South Africa and you've got to give countries like South Africa, New Zealand, Bangladesh at least three test series, not those two test series. In my opinion, the two test series should be completely done away. A test series should be a minimum of three tests, because then that gives you a result in most cases than not. You know, there's somebody has the, even if two tests go equal, there's a third chance, third test that does. So I think maybe that's one of those things where they have to make, like, you know, three tests series as a minimum, and two test series don't count, sort of thing. That would probably encourage a little bit more about tests. Obviously, one other thing that's come out of this is the fact that, you know, India and Australia are actually going to play a five test series. So that's obviously been building up. You know, it's been four for a long time now. And India, England have moved to five, and India, Australia. So it's only these three nations, in fact, India, Australia, India, England, and England, Australia are playing five test series. Nobody else is playing. And the market is there in Australia. So they become your marquee series.
Yeah.
The people look forward to, and the rest of them. The thing with the ODI is it needs to have a context. That is its biggest problem. It's not so much the format, but the relevance is the problem in terms of a context-wise.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think they need to build in, like, what they did for Test cricket, right? I mean, the points and how it accumulates to World Test Championship. I don't know. I think there should be something like that. Even minor leagues that we play in have a better way of...
So there is actually there. And this is the problem, isn't it?
Yeah.
People like you and me who follow Test cricket, you know, we don't even look at it, like, you know, in terms of not even knowing that a World ODI series actually exists. There are points and rankings. That's what's based on, like, you know, who qualifies for the World Cup. So, for example, South Africa are not going to Australia. They decided to forfeit their ODI in Australia, and they are going to lose point ranking points. But and that's where I think the ICC needs to do a better job in terms of communicating, like, you know, this is the context. It just seems to be like a bilateral ODI sort of tacked along, you know, at the back of a test series or a T20I sort of thing. So, yeah, it's... Well, I mean, one good thing out of this, you know, for all of these things that we're talking about is we will have more material to talk about. And that's a good thing. There's more cricket for us to follow. So,
let's see. I think there will be... I mean, I'm predicting it will be 40 over games soon, 20, 40, and 80.
Okay. That's an interesting thing. I don't see. I mean, I think it'll be 20, 50, and 80, or the 50 at some point dying. Well, I know England are really trying to push the 100, at least now, you know, who knows how that will change. Definitely not for probably this cycle, but, you know, maybe again, there's a big discussion point. You know, one of the things that came out of this FTP is also the fact that, you know, there are now for each of the leagues, there are set windows, even though they're not officially sanctioned windows, there are windows kind of in place, and it's become around the year cycle. I think the only thing is in 2025, when the Champions Trophy goes to Pakistan, there is potentially a possibility for the clash of the IPL versus the PSL, them falling around the same dates according to the future tours program. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. I'm trying to think, like, you know, there is probably only I suppose there's probably the West Indies. From England, there are probably not as many IPL players who play in the IPL and the PSL, or even like New Zealand. That in my head, I'm thinking the likes of Trent Bolt. I don't think David Warner plays in the PSL.
I never followed PSL very closely. Last, I think during the lockdown, we were watching a few games because we didn't have much to do. But I've seen Australian players thank in their Twitter feed about PSL, and how I think somebody raised a controversy saying that's the best tournament, and then the Indian diaspora and Twitterati started off saying, you know, you guys just need to be loyal. But then, all these things happen, right? I think there are some England players, English players. I think Jason Roy comes to my mind.
Jason Roy. I mean, I think Moeen Ali does, you know, about more like the likes of Alex Hill, probably the likes of Chris Jordan, and some of the newer guys. Sam Billings probably plays, you know, he plays
yeah.
and stuff. So it'd be interesting to see, like, you know, where. But yeah, I suppose you look at it and say the creme de la creme that play in the IPL, you know, the real top echelon guys. How many of them play in the PSL? I'm thinking the likes of Pat Cummins, for example. Kane Williamson, Trent Bolt, and those sort of, you know, Josh Butler. That's the kind of people, you know. I'm sure that there's a few West Indies players who play, like, you know, your Russells and Pollards. Can't remember what BJ Bravo, he probably does as well. But you know, so it's, yeah, I think it'll be a mixed bag. So it'll be interesting to see where the loyalties lie at that point. You know, does it lie where the money goes, or again, we mentioned this, you know, a few weeks ago, like, you know, talking about various things in the podcast around how talked about the IPL franchises, you know, now own in South Africa, some in the West Indies, etc. And so therefore are able to, like, you know, collectively mold players to say, or play in the IPL rather than, you know, kind of the PSL, etc. So that's yeah, so interesting days, you know, sort of years ahead with the future program. So looking forward to that in starts in a sort of India number of we've got no tests away this year until Bangladesh in December. We are playing two tests away, and then Australia are coming over in February for four home tests. So those are the six tests really India have got before the Test Championship in 2023. Interesting, England have got an away test.
Yeah, in Pakistan. End of this
December,
year.
Yeah, they've got three tests. England are touring to Pakistan. I saw literally, I think this morning or this afternoon, the actual tour being announced. I mean, in terms of the ODIs, so they're like breaking down into two legs. They're playing the T20I leg, which is before the World Cup. And then they're playing this one between the World Cup and Christmas.
Interesting. I think they are making the best use of a stopover.
Yeah. I mean, it's a seven T20s they're playing in Pakistan. I think we mentioned this last time around.
Yeah.
England are playing 17 T20s, and then they're playing about three T20s in Australia as well before the World Cup. And then they're going. But yeah, England is kind of slightly different in the sense that to a very, very large extent, their white ball and red ball teams are completely different.
Yeah.
So I guess the team that goes to Pakistan will, apart from Johnny Bairstow, I'm trying to think who else, because it used to be Stokes, Butler and Bairstow.
Yeah.
But now it's only Bairstow who's...
Yeah.
Plays internationally, like sort of multi-formatted player, if you like.
Yep.
None of the other guys are actually in the team. So Stokes is pulled out. Josh Butler isn't in the test team, and
Jules, he's already out with the injury. Josh Butler from the 100. So
yeah. So I guess other than Johnny Bairstow, you know, they've completely deviated. It's not like India's team where, like, you know, it's a mix and match. They've completely deviated their team. So
I think if India thought about it, they could field. I mean, they are fielding two ODI or T20 teams parallelly, so they can definitely do two separate tests in ODIs. I think we did have that, except very few players having that overlap. We did have also. So yeah, I think India will also go that way if it becomes too much.
So moving on then from the world of cricket in terms of just staying with the news, news coming out is that Jalan Goswami is going to announce her or is retiring from international cricket at Lords when India women finish up the tour. I think it's on the 24th of September is when. Oh, that's going to be like proper cold. Well, say that. Can't see how the weather is going to be, like, you know,
We might get an Indian summer.
Yeah, I know. I was up in Scotland earlier, this week, and it was actually like, sunny, and it's
They're not
sunny in
like
Inverness.
Scotland.
Yeah, sunny in Inverness. That's like, oh, and it's back end of August. Kids have started going back to school in Scotland, so it's a bit like, what's the weather coming to? But yeah, that will really be the end of an era from an Indian cricket perspective, women's cricket.
Yeah.
Mithali Raj already gone, and then Jalan Goswami retiring. Yeah,
Do you
it
think
will.
they will play the IPL? I think Mithali Raj had indicated that she might want to play that format. I don't know. Maybe Jalan Goswami, one of the
I
teams,
think
men.
no, that and that's a good segue into kind
Yeah.
of just picking up the next news item, which is like, yeah, it does look like the women's side below the nothing's been officially announced, but based on how the calendar's been created, like, the women's calendar, India's women's domestic calendar has been done by moving it a month earlier. There is space being made for the women's IPL. My best guess is it's going to be standalone from the men's IPL, and it's probably just before the men's IPL. That's probably how it will be, like, it's before the men's IPL, and then that culminates, the women's IPL ends, and then the men's IPL will start. So that will be like a really, really big boost to women's cricket in India.
It will be a huge boost. You just want kids taking up cricket at that age, and girls especially playing that format. I mean, and if you drive down anywhere in UK, you can see girls actively participating, and within even in our clubs, that format has caught up. Whereas in India, I think once this IPL kicks off. Women's IPL, like you will see that, school kids and kids of five,
Yeah.
6 years old need to take up that game for it to catch on. And then, yeah, I think it will be a huge win for not only the game, but also women empowerment in a country like India.
Yeah, I think, I mean, if you the setup obviously in England here is quite different now.
Yeah.
Kids don't play, whether it's boys or girls, in a way, they don't play the sport in the way they play in India, in the sense of,
Yeah.
I mean, us growing up as kids, or kind of any of the kids today, playing cricket is just kind of natural. Like, anything you play,
Yeah.
any street, you could literally just, like, pick up a bat and a ball, and you can see cricket playing, anywhere being played. But you see that a lot of boys, and then I say, the change needs to be, a lot of women needs to be, girls, young girls need to be involved in kind of,
Yeah.
playing. This will be the one. Whereas here, it's more like, it's a school, a club based system, and that's kind of how it's played, rather than kids just picking up on the
On
street,
the
if you like.
yeah.
So yeah, that'll be quite interesting, and we'll definitely cover up when the women's IPL, the news comes out officially, and the actual IPL itself. Just pivoting on in terms of the actual cricket, so India finished off the tour of Zimbabwe. As expected, we talked about this. It's 3-0 clean sweep. Yes, the last one today was a little bit close, but comparatively, the first two games were much more easier. I mean, it was a 10-wicket victory, the first one. The second one was a 5-wicket victory. But if you look at it, they finished it in about 25-ish overs. So it was like, yeah, it was still like a massive victory. Let's not go through, sort of each of the individual games, in terms of probably just talking about the gains and losses, if you like, so just, I mean, from I'll talk about from my perspective in terms of what I was looking for was, like, KL Rahul, not so much his captaincy, but, whether to see KL Rahul kind of coming back to form. I wouldn't sort of really say, oh yeah, he's back in form. It's, well, obviously he didn't get to bat at all in that first game. The second game he played, he got out for one, and then today's game, obviously, he scored a middling sort of 30 or 46 balls. So there's not much to write about from KL Rahul's perspective. I think the only thing you could say is, like, he's come through three games. He's, because I don't think form was the thing. It's more injury that kept him out rather than form. So hopefully is back and you know sort of keeps carrying on now. Who else are we looking at? Shubman Gill, a good 100 today. He's probably been again another one, like, you know, not necessarily fan of the series, but you know it's good that he's got his maiden 100 today. Whereas, you know, player of the series as well for this series.
Yeah, I think that there have been some records. You know, credit is due where credit is. I think Zimbabwe have put up a great fight against a good Indian team. For me, I think Raz
Sikandar Razo.
the Jazz. Yeah, he scored 115. So it could. It was a good game today, I suppose. It was, fighting back from 169 for seven. So it's a good game. I think it's good for Zimbabwean cricket. We want to see more countries like that coming up. And I think obviously you expect we had no made no qualms about it. Would want to see India win, and they did. But you also want closer competition, so it was good, I think.
Yeah, it was good. The last series, you know, the last game of the series, you know, good close competition. For me, again, you know, what we talked about in terms of the ODI relevances and stuff. Again, it just feels I can't. I to be honest, I couldn't just relate to this ODI series at all. It just passed by me in a blur. You know, I kept an eye out on it, but really wasn't interested in terms of, you know, in watching. Again, as I said, is probably more. Because Rahul and Deepak Chahar were the two that I was keeping an eye out. You know, both of them kind of coming back from injury, and probably two players who you think, well, at least I think, should go to the World Cup in Australia, definitely be on the squad. You know, Chahar, it's nice to see him, like, you know, coming out, taking a few wickets. So for me, that was the one thing, you know, but otherwise, as I said, really don't see like much from this series overall, if you like.
No, I think it will be a good experience for some of the cricketers. You know, I think it's not a bad place. There are plenty of touring opportunities nearby, but yeah.
Yeah, I suppose Chahar did what he could, you know, picked up about 5 wickets. Averaged about 20-ish at the bowling, so that's all you could potentially ask for from him. And then we'll see it as I said, not really much to talk about in that series. I guess the more interesting one is the series coming ahead, the Asia Cup. The qualifiers have already started. There's probably been one or two games that's happened, you know. By the time we record the next podcast on Monday next week, the first game, the big one, India Pakistan, would have been over. So, I mean, so far, like, you know, in terms of the qualifier results, Kuwait beat UAE again. I won't kind of say, like, you know, oh yeah, I knew what's happening. It's not something that I am keeping an eye on. Just probably look at to see once the proper tournament starts what's going to happen. Hong Kong beat Singapore, so
I think Hong
interesting.
Kong looked to be a contender, or UAE. I think one of those two.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, well,
UAE.
you say UAE versus, but I think Kuwait beating UAE is definitely a surprise, in that, if you look at it that way, so that's probably an interesting one.
No, I was saying, I think Ashwin also mentioned this in his video today. I mean, UAE has this, you know, T10 tournament. Their two Emiratis need to be mandatory.
T20, yeah, it's international T20 international league. I think it's been called, where at
Yeah,
least.
it is called, but then they had in the past the
All right.
T10 league. And then, so basically, the premise was that UAE plays some internationally recognized cricket or intentionally follow cricket format, people who are part of UAE cricket team also get to, you know, share. Whereas Kuwait, for example, you wouldn't have that luxury to.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, talking about just split match of the IL T20, they seem to be like signing up quite a number of players, you know, and it'd be interesting when that actually happens, you know, the first one, you know, clashing with the BBL, with South Africa, to see like, you know, how that pans out and where it gets its window in the future. I mean, in terms of, as I said, like, you know, looking ahead to the Asia Cup, obviously India start their first game with the big one, India Pakistan on the Sunday. The proper tournament itself starts on Saturday with Afghanistan taking on Sri Lanka in the first game, which is in the other group, and then India take on Pakistan, and then probably subsequently India will play obviously the qualifier. Looking at the way the tournament scheduled, it potentially looks like there'll be at least minimum of two India Pakistan games, and
minimum,
possibly
yes,
three if India make and Pakistan both make it to the final. So it's you can say the way the tournament is being scheduled or planned for us to maximize eyeballs and gate receipts on the India Pakistan game.
I think there is also equally good. I mean, Shakib Al Hassan now takes up captaincy, I guess. He's talking about improving the craft. Sri Lanka, Afghanistan, that group is also tough. I mean, on their day, they could, any team in there could beat anybody.
With T20, that's the thing, isn't it? We've always said any team could pull up an upset on T20. Stuck what just mentioned Bangladesh, you know, sort of Shakib Al Hassan captain. It just reminded me of, like, you know, going back to India, I suppose the late 80s and the early 90s, you know, where we used to have this Kapil Dev goes, Gavaskar comes, Gavaskar goes, Kapil Dev comes, or, you know, people move out for a while, or Pakistan as well, as probably they had, like, you know, this between Wasim Akram and, you know, Bakari is his captain, and the next it's just the same people sort of, you know, keep moving around, and say Moin Khan was captain for a few days, then he wasn't, then he was back. And we had this thing, you know, it looks like Bangladesh are now in that place where they can't just make up their minds and have somebody to say, like, you know, a long-term plan, you know. Shakib's been through the whole mill, you know, in terms of getting banned, getting not wanting to play.
Yeah, he's been through everything that cricketer goes through, pretty much.
Everything, you know, not wanting to play tests or wanted to pick and choose, and, you know, having fights with the board and all of those things, and then yet he comes back with, like, okay, I'm the back again as the captain. So yeah, it's they just keep going round and round. Before, you know, sort of just before we finish off quickly, just wanted to, like, you know, look at obviously the first game, as I said, you know, is India Pakistan. What I don't know if you've looked at the squad for the Asia Cup. I know we briefly talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I think, when it was announced. But if I'll pick my 11, if you like, you know, in the first place, and then you can have a go out to see who's playing against that game in Pakistan. So Rohit Sharma and Rahul to open 1 and 2. Virat Kohli at 3.
Ooh. Great pick.
Sky at 4. Rishabh Pant probably at 5. And Hardik Pandya 6. I'm kind of torn between what do I do with Dinesh Karthik, you know. Probably just keeping him in as a batsman. That's kind of 7. And then your bowlers, because there's no Bumrah, obviously. Bhuvneshwar Kumar. Yeah, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, Ashdeep Singh, Ravi Jadeja, and Yuzvendra Chahal. That's kind of my 11.
I would pretty much go with that. Obviously, Rohit Sharma, Rahul opening, Virat Kohli definitely for the energy he brings on the field still. between Deepak Hooda, Surya Kumar Yadav, which is a very tough gig, but yeah, Surya Kumar Yadav. It really depends on on Pakistan's bowling as well, right?
Yeah,
Those such
I
as actually.
suppose you could say probably between Deepak Hooda and Dinesh Karthik, Deepak Hooda might edge him a little bit simply because he can bowl his off spin as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably where
My
maybe.
thing is, yeah, he does, and then Surya Kumar Yadav is exclusively a batsman. And of course, between punt, did you play punt as a big keeper? Do you still include Dinesh Karthik? Is a thing. I would play Dinesh Karthik if you ask me in those formats, especially against good bowling. Pandya,
I
of
think
course,
punt
yeah.
just gets in by default, in terms of
Sheer weight of his runs, yeah.
I can't even think of it's almost like literally after Rohit Sharma, if you like, you
He's the
would like
captain
punt not as
since.
the first, even before probably right now, even before Virat Kohli, you would like
Right
to show
now,
punt.
yes, of course. But let's see. I mean, I think they will mix and match, depending on the teams that we are playing. I think Dinesh Karthik might get a game against the lesser opponents. I don't know if that's even a word nowadays, but weaker opponents. In terms of cricketing wise, yeah, Hardik Pandya, Alpreet Jadeja, Chahal, Bhuvneshwar Kumar, and Ashdeep Singh.
Yeah, I think again it'll probably be the same thing for Ashwin. I mean, again, as you say, there's a lot of talk about sort of matchups, but it's just interesting, just looking at Rohit Sharma's 35, Ashwin's 35.
Virat Kohli?
He's 33. Dinesh Karthik is 37. It sort of made me Jadeja and obviously Kohli around the 33
Yeah. See, they
mark.
seem a lot younger with these guys
Yeah,
around.
but it made me just think about well, the other part of this podcast, the yellow and blues, the yellow sort of CSK's Dats Army. It kind of seems to be becoming India's, is becoming more like a Dhoni style Dats Army
Yeah.
team, all your 30 plus, 35 plus in some cases as well, sort of playing in the T20s.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, but without sounding a bit ageist, and I'm a bit partial to people who have crossed the other side of 40. No, I think if they're playing to their fullest potential, their fielding or anything is not getting affected by their age. I don't think that should be. I mean, like Imran Tahir played forever, and
Well,
say
not
not
played, he's
played,
playing
he's
forever.
playing forever, right? There are players, Brad Hawke comes to my mind. I think the number of players I think in the past you can say. I think the later, yeah, I mean there was a movement of fitness and fielding in cricket which seemed to hamper, but otherwise back in the days cricketers were playing forever.
Well, there's no better example than Jimmy Anderson playing
Yeah,
test match cricket at 40
exactly.
plus.
Being a fast
And a
bowler as
fast
well.
bowler, yeah, that's the thing. That is the most phenomenal. And from a fielding perspective as well, he's an amazing fielder as well. So as well, and to me, all of these 35 plus, but it's just some a thought that kind of came to mind. Obviously, CSK proved the fact that even with that team, they could still go on and win the IPL. So why not?
Yeah, I was like, if you look at Rohit Sharma, for example, if he suffers with lack of reflexes around that age, in terms of really being able to, I mean, he disproved that in a couple of games that I saw live in Edgbaston. He just hooked, one of the England fast bowlers into, yeah, that you see that it's not an issue right now.
Yeah, so well, fingers crossed for that game. So we'll probably pick up a review of that game next week when we record the podcast, and then look ahead to the rest of the tournament. I mean, but that kind of the one I was just going to say, let's wrap that. But I don't know, it's kind of just passed by in terms of, we didn't pick this up in the news as well. But Mohammad Siraj has actually signed up for playing for Warwickshire for the remainder of the 2022 county season, so they've got about three championship games. and Siraj is going to play for them. So that I think it augurs very well in terms of for his bowling as well, in terms
Yeah.
of bowling, overs under the belt. So it's good, Indian players are not just taking rest when they're not picked up for certain series. They're still looking at coming up, picking up the trade. That shows a great commitment, I guess, from Siraj's
Yeah.
side as well in terms of learning and sort of playing. Obviously, Pujara is doing his thing for Sussex in all formats, even in the ODI formats, in the Royal London ODI as well. But it'd be good to see, there's actually a good contingent of
Yeah.
Indians playing here.
Yeah, Pujara, to fair play to him, he was struggling. If you go back, and he's come back to England and played excellently well. So that shows that with effort you can turn your adversity around.
Well, yeah, but I don't know whether that's going to do much for him in terms of the longer term. I guess the next test they are playing in December, so he's probably not got much cricket between now and December.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see where Indian cricket is, in terms of picking its players in December for an away test to Bangladesh. Pujara might still get picked at that point in time, but it depends on a lot of things. Maybe for the Australian series in February, I think, is stretched too far, without sort of any cricket for him in between. So it'll be interesting to see what the team is. It's a very long way, but yeah, it's good to see a number of Indian players actually playing in. Kunal Pandya is also playing for Warwickshire, in the Royal London Club Cup in the ODI, but whereas Siraj is coming in to play for them for in the County Championship. So yeah, good to see Indian players still sort of playing in the county game.
Yeah.
Bowling in September will probably be a good thing for Siraj if normal weather resumes. So yeah, so let's wrap this podcast then. Until next week, if you like the sound of this, do subscribe to us on Spotify or any other platforms from which you receive your podcast. And do leave your reviews and comments and follow us also on Twitter. Our handle is @YellowandBlues. So until after the game between India and Pakistan.